Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that he's here. We thank you that he's moving upon us, and we just pray that you shall continue to move through our minds and our hearts. Help us to understand your word. And Lord, help us to be aware of him as he ministers. Amen. Amen. Well, that's quite a reading, isn't it? That's an exciting reading. I trust it is to you anyway. It is to me. It's quite a... If it was a motion picture, it would be some quite spectacular special effects, wouldn't it? I reckon. And I guess you could probably do that today. But it's a great illustration that God can breathe life into a seemingly dead situation. Think about Ezekiel, who was brought into witness the transformative power that God has in a person's life and in a seemingly dead situation. The question is posed by Almighty God to the prophet: can these bones live? Well, that's a question, isn't it? You stand there in a valley like that and you think, wow, that's a question. Can these bones live? And I suppose we're touching again on what Pastor Hayden brought to the fellowship as the word for 2024, which is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, from Zechariah 4:6. Can these bones live? Right, okay, this is just to see if you're awake. Okay. I see a few of you are nodding off already. That's not a good sign, is it? If I were to ask you about oxymorons, you might give me a funny look. Oxymorons, what's one of those? Well, they're contradictory phrases that may seem impossible, improbable, or perhaps even amusing. Okay? So here's a few examples I've written down. And I've just got another one. Okay? Here's an oxymoron from a market trader. It's a genuine imitation. That's an oxymoron. You can't have a genuine imitation, can you? For those in love, we're alone together. Well, as you're alone, we're together, you're not close. Here's one for a politician. Clearly misunderstood. And when you go to the cheap shop, have you ever thought you can't really get plastic glasses? Well, they can't be plastic and glasses, can they? Here's one for all parents out there, childproof. And here's one for all the teenagers, tidy bedroom. Yeah. Ooh, there's somebody getting a really dirty look, and I'm not going to say who. Working holiday. That's another one, isn't it? Cool, working holiday. You either work now or not. What about some people who are a bit sceptical in the world, and they look at believers in the church and they think, well, perhaps there's a few oxymorons that might apply to the fellowship or the church. Not this one, but generally. They might say, okay, lively church. But you know, trusting in a risen saviour is not a dead end, is it? A lively church alive in him. Born again. That's true. We've got a new start, a new beginning, a new life in Jesus, a new hope. I've already had that thought, we've got a new hope. A united body. Jesus prayed for all believers that they, and that includes us, we might be one as him and his Father were one. Life after death. Well, that's certainly not an oxymoron, because we know that even when we breathe our last breath, it's not the end. That's great, isn't it? So whatever the world points at this, that's not the case. We know the truth. We do, don't we? Nod your head. So if we turn again to Ezekiel 37 that Billy read, the passage in my Bible is headed The Valley of Dry Bones, but I've retitled it, if you give me a bit of license. God brings life into a dead situation. God brings life into a dead situation. You see in verse 1, Ezekiel states, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Well, that's a fantastic start, isn't it? That's a great start. That's a place to be. Because there's no better place to start for anyone being guided by the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon him. And you know, if the hand of the Lord's upon someone, then sometimes it might be restraining us. Sometimes it might be encouraging us. Sometimes it might be holding us up. We heard just last Sunday from Hayden about the fact that it's great to have your hand in his. And all of those things happen. Sometimes directing us, you know, into passive righteousness, but always with his wisdom, always with his care, always with his compassion, always with his strength. You know, we might have ambitions and aims, and that's rightly so, but we need to make sure that we have our hand in his. We need to make sure that we're in the right place. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And then it goes on to say in that passage, he brought me out by the Spirit. God's Spirit led the prophet out from where he was to a place of dry bones, a desert place. God, hey, you might think, if I was Ezekiel, you might think, well, thanks a lot. But he brought me out to a desert place, a place of dry bones. But he's in good company. We've heard it recently from Robert as he ministered. Who else went down to a desert road? Well, Philip the evangelist did. He went down to a desert road to an isolated place, met an Ethiopian official. It was a desolate place, but he went because of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's the important thing. He went because of the prompting and direction of the Holy Spirit. And of course we know that very well known passage when Jesus was led out into the wilderness too. And what did he do there? Well, he prayed, he fasted, he learned from his father, he was tempted, absolutely tempted. But take note, it was there in the desert place that he overcame by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, strengthened by the Spirit. Folks, it's worth taking note that sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us out into a solitary place. We're not always in the green pasture. Great being a green pasture. But we're not always there. Sometimes he leads us out into a solitary place for a reason. A solitary place perhaps has fewer distractions. Perhaps. I think it has. And if I was to take an example from school, that's been a while ago for some of us, longer than we care to think about. If there are no distractions, if you think about school, if there's no distractions, then we understand the message more clearly, don't we? If there's no distractions, we get the instructions more vividly. Perhaps we learn the lesson more. And sometimes the Lord just takes us out of where we're comfortable, takes us to a solitary place so we can learn the lesson, whatever it may be. And a while ago in the fellowship, it was commented upon that there's occasions when we need to be taken from a place of being at ease and sitting back. And in those instances, the Holy Spirit leads us out to see the truth to a fuller extent, to a greater extent, because we're in that place where there's no distractions and we're listening and learning and growing. And sometimes we may feel overwhelmed by circumstances. And I think that's true of all of us. I think it's fair to say that any one of us at some time in our lives will have that feeling of being overwhelmed or intimidated by circumstances. But you know what? If he is leading us, we're in good hands. If the Lord's leading us, we're in good hands. And just as importantly, we're in the right place. That's where he wants us. Question: how happy would you be in a desert valley? Steep rock faces on either side and piles of dry bones all around. Right, you don't have to shout out, but I guess you have an idea. You might be a bit uncomfortable. If you've ever seen those pictures of Death Valley in America where it's 50 degrees Celsius, not exactly the place you want to be. And I guess, Ezekiel was the man of God, so he wasn't feeling, perhaps as we would feel, panic, despair, or perhaps at least bewilderment. Not at all. He was told by the Spirit, and he did exactly what he had to do. He went to and fro. He was led to and fro. And as he was led to and fro, he noticed details. How do I know he noticed details? Because in verse 2, it's verse 2, yeah, he led me to and fro, and I saw many great bones on the floor. They were very dry. He noticed details. He was led by the Spirit, and he noticed details. The Lord doesn't lead us to a place of avoiding what's around or trying to ignore difficulties. Life in Christ is not escapism, but don't bury our heads in the sand. In Him, we receive the very strength needed to face up to circumstances. And as we've already noted, when the hand of the Lord is upon you, and with us, the Holy Spirit is guiding us. And as we get to verse 3, God asks the question, can these bones live? Which is, bam, can these bones live? Wow, what a question that is. But you know, whatever is going on around the world, and there's lots of things going around the world, whatever the political leaders say, whatever world leaders think is important, God asks the even more important questions. I'm not saying what's happening in the world isn't important. What I'm saying is, what God asks is even more important, because this world will pass away one day. He asks the really important questions. Can these bones live? God addresses the vital issues, the eternal matters that we as individuals all need to respond to. And you might think, has God gone off on a tangent a bit by asking this question? But not at all. And I'm going to paraphrase the question of, can these bones live, to, do you believe that I am the Lord, the giver of life? Do you believe that I am the Lord, the giver of life? And that's a question for each one of us this morning. Do you believe that He is the Lord, the giver of life? And that's the sort of question that God asks, and we have to answer. And He still does. Questions of eternal value, like, do you love me like you say you do? Do you live like you say you believe? Do you understand what I'm saying? And are you really guided by me? See, Ezekiel replies to the Lord in this way. He provides a two-part response. Ah, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Ah, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. See, the person with the Lord's hand upon them and being led by the Holy Spirit recognises, first of all, that he is sovereign. That he is absolutely sovereign. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the sovereignty of the triune God. He alone is the ultimate authority. He alone is the living Lord of life. He alone is Almighty God. He alone is King of creation. He alone is Judge of all people across all time. Colossians 1, 15-17 says this, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. All things hold together. The sovereignty of God, the magnificence of Him. How incredible He is. And secondly, our Sovereign Lord, we thought about that, you alone know. The person with the Lord's hand upon their life recognises that God alone knows. God alone knows. We can trust Him implicitly with that. We know that God only wants what's best for us because He knows. We know that Jesus comes to the unbeliever and says, I am the truth. Not just the unbeliever, but the all of us. I am the truth. He's the truth from God. He's the truth about God. He's the revelation from God, if we don't know Him. And God knows that Jesus has the words of eternal life. One of the disciples said that. Lord, where else can we go? You've got the words of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? And as we go on to verse 6, 4 to 6, we see that Ezekiel records, then he said to me, and he listened. And it seems an obvious remark, really. It is an obvious remark. But what a good idea. Then he said to me, and so he listened. You see, the person with the Lord's hand upon them, they don't speculate. They don't go off halfway through. They don't become distracted by surroundings. How easy would it have been for Ezekiel to be distracted by the bones, by the heat, by the valley, by the desert? He wasn't. And they shouldn't be overwhelmed by the challenge. Remember, Who is sovereign? Our God. Our God. And in verses 7 and 8, we're coming to the crunch. So I prophesied, and I was as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, bone on bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel stepped out in faith, and that's what the Lord wants us to do by His Spirit, to step out in faith. What an example! Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Believe and do. As James puts it, faith and works. Show your faith in action. Friends, let's not be unnerved by rattling bones. Could be unnerving, couldn't it? But let's not be unnerved by rattling bones as God's Spirit moves. Naturally speaking, evidence of change can unnerve us, perhaps. But you know, we need to remember who's doing the changing. Only for our good. Only for our benefit. By His power, by His Spirit. God in action. God the Father through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who Jesus sent as He ascended back to glory. Only for our good. So, as we've read this section, it appears that it was a nearly but not quite situation, doesn't it? The bones are together, the sinews there, the flesh is being covered, but there was no breath. God instructed Ezekiel to prophesy once more, and the message from that section is simply this: keep on going. Keep believing. Continue to believe. Prophesy again, he said. Our God will never leave His work undone. Jesus didn't do half a job of salvation. And right through Scripture we see that if God promises, as God's promised, He will do. He keeps His promises. And as we get to verse 10, which is where we finish, we see that the breath of God, His breath of life, produces what? A vast army. Wow, that's impressive, isn't it? And I've got written here in bold, from dry bones to fighting fit. You fancy being fighting fit? Do a bit more fight. Well, not more fighting, but more fit. We should be careful to take note that God's work isn't just completed. It isn't make do. It isn't adequate. None of those things. His work is and always has been absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. His salvation, perfect. His Son, perfect. The sacrifice that Jesus made, perfect. His plan and purpose for each one of us and the moving of His Holy Spirit, perfect. It would be extremely unkind of me to consider a parallel to anybody to dry bones. But it's a fundamental truth that if somebody hasn't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, then there is flesh and bone, but there is no spirit of life. And I'm paraphrasing Romans 6 here by saying this: the wages of sin is dry bones in the desert valley, but the gift of God through Jesus is not just the breath of life, it's the breath of life. Of life itself. And as the word of God was spoken, the bones lived, and thank God He still speaks today, and we still are alive in Him. The Holy Spirit in our lives, through our fellowship, in filling. So for us who believe, the challenge is to ensure that the Spirit of the Lord moves, and that the hand of the Lord is upon us and moves through us. In New Testament parlance, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. To listen, to learn, to step out in obedience, to continue in faith, to remember that He is sovereign, and that He alone knows all things. And as we were reminded in our message for 2024, the perpetual presence of God, His Holy Spirit, is to know the perpetual presence of God, the perpetual power of God, and the perpetual protection of God. The bones, notice, didn't regenerate on their own. Didn't come together by themselves. God breathed life by His Spirit. We can't do it alone. We need to accept the situation that we find ourselves in, whatever that may be, as Christians, as believers. But then allow God, the Holy Spirit, to breathe life, more life, through us. As the old hymn says, breathe on me, breath of God. So can these bones live? Can these bones live? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit.